Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear these stories today, we pray that the power of the resurrection will be at work within us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a fan of Easter. I hope everyone here is. Some people don't necessarily like Easter, but I'm not one of them. In fact, I've always loved it. It's something really, really exciting about this whole movement from Jesus dying to rising. Such an amazing story. There's another thing that sometimes we associate with Easter, and we just saw the eggs here, but there's another one part of the Christian story. A rooster. So you might remember that sometimes you might hear that Peter, who was to be the head of the church later, betrayed Jesus three times before the cock crowed. Remember that? Well, this rooster is not meant to remind you of that story at all. In fact, this rooster is meant to remind you of another rooster that I had. This is the son of that rooster. But anyhow, I realised at my first sermon this morning that that wasn't the rooster that I had later on, so that's the son of. Anyway, one day I came back, I was on the week leading up to Easter, it was the Tuesday night, and I'd come back from doing a service, and I found something on my driveway, well, my grass. I was not really a happy camper. Old Roosty was, Fox had got the better of him, and I just thought, he's dead. So I went looking all around the yard for it, went to its normal house, and I couldn't see it, so it was just, bye-bye Rooster. I thought, that's one to the Fox. And anyway, a few days later, in come my boys. They're running in, Dad, 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 the rooster's alive! And I could not believe it. And I started to say, the rooster's not dead. No, he is alive. No, no, no. I didn't say that, but I ran down. I ran down to where this rooster was hiding. And it was battered, and it was bloody, but it was alive. And you know what? In my heart and my whole trevness, I started to just be so joyful. Joy was starting to, yes, the rooster's alive, and I was just so happy. And then it dawned on me, this, if I feel this about a silly rooster that we eat one day, and if I feel this about a rooster, imagine, can you imagine how the disciples felt on that first Sunday when they had found out Jesus had risen from the dead? You see, I thought my rooster had died, but I wasn't sure. Whereas the disciples, they were certain that Jesus had died. Crucifixions were things that you did not survive. Not all of the disciples were there to witness him actually die, but there were some. There were some who saw it. But the ones who weren't there didn't need to see it. They knew what the outcome was. And so they were destitute, dejected, distressed, despondent. And then they were hiding. And we hear at the end of this Bible reading today that we had from the Gospel of Mark that the women left. And they left bewildered. They didn't know what to make of this. They were not expecting it. Even though Jesus had said that he would rise from the dead, they did not expect that that would happen. Who would? They left trembling and bewildered as they went to talk. Now today I want to talk about 10 reasons why I believe Jesus rose from the dead. There are other reasons you could come out with, but I want to give you 10 why I do. And the first one is linked with our passage. In fact, it's linked with all of the passages about the resurrection. Is that there was an empty tomb. If the tomb wasn't empty, then Jesus wouldn't have risen. And in fact, we would not be standing here now or sitting here talking about a resurrection if Jesus was still dead in the tomb. The reason his message passed on, the reason it continued, was not because he was a good teacher, even though he was. The church continued because the tomb was empty. We hear that in Mark 16:5, that the women entered, and there was actually someone else there then. It was an angel, looked like a young man dressed in white, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified, but he's risen. He is not here." Reason one, the empty tomb. The next three reasons have something to do with the empty tomb. That if the Jewish leaders could have, they would have produced a body to disprove it. After all, it was the Jewish leaders who were so keen to have Jesus put on the cross to start with. They were concerned that Rome, and if you've ever seen anything about Rome, they were a strong military force and they wanted to command with that force. The Jewish leaders were afraid that the Romans were going to come and attack them. And that's really why, one of the reasons they wanted Jesus killed, because Jesus was coming into town saying, "I'm king," and the people were happy to see him, and they thought, well, he is going to be the king. But what does the king do? The king rises up against Rome. So the leaders of the time said, "We can't have this, we need to kill Jesus." So they, of all people, would not want this to continue on. So they could have produced the body if they wanted to. But they couldn't because they didn't have it. The third person, Pontius Pilate or any other of the Romans, if he knew where it was, or they did, they would bring it pretty quick smart, because not only was the Jewish people in trouble from Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate was also had the heat put on him from Rome, because Israel was always a troublemaker spot. And he was starting to get, you know, the screws put on him as well. So he absolutely didn't want any more trouble in Israel. If there was a body, they would have got it if it was from the Romans. The next one. If the disciples took the body, they wouldn't have gone on to die for a lie. This one for me was one of the most compelling. They wouldn't die for a lie. Would any of you? You wouldn't. But you'd give your life for something that's world-changing. And that's what the disciples ended up doing. Anyone here like these hundreds and thousands biscuits? You do? I do too. I see those hands. Any mums like these ones? Hey, they were in my cupboard at home. Yes. But when I was looking at this packet of biscuits not long ago, I noticed something amazing which reminded me about the story that we've just read. And it's this bit here. Can you see that? Promotion. Right, let's put 0.5 star. People will buy it. No, the only reason that is there is because it's true, and there must be some sort of law coming in that you say you've got to do this. But if they could, they'd say 5-star, right? They would. You can see the funds all over it, but the health we don't see. They would love to be able to say, "Eat this, this is good." And the only reason it's there is because it's not good food, right? There's some things in the gospel account that if the early Christians had a choice on what to write in and what to write out, they would leave out, signalling that because it's in there, it means that's how it happened. Does that make sense? You follow that lead? The women were the first to witness in every single account about the resurrection, were the first ones to be there. Now, in our day, we'll go, well, so what? What's that got to do with anything? Well, back then, it did make a difference, because back then, unfortunately, the words of women were not trusted. And so, even if a lady said something in a court of law, it was taken with suspicion. And so, as wrong as that is, because it is recorded in the scriptures that the women are the ones who witnessed this first and first saw Jesus, why would it be there? If they were trying to write an account that would be trusted and believed straight away, they would have said, oh yeah, Peter came in and he saw it, etc., etc. So the reason they record the women as the ones witnessing first is because that's how it happened. There are some other things in the scriptures that you wouldn't want in there if you were rewriting it for yourself. For instance, you wouldn't have Peter, the head of the church, betraying Jesus. You wouldn't have the disciples running hightail when people turned up. You'd have them being strong and brave and courageous like Jesus. And you wouldn't have Thomas doubting. And even the very worst last words of Matthew's gospel, when they see Jesus ascend into a cloud, it still says, and some doubted. You wouldn't say that if you weren't prepared to write things as they happened. And there's some things that happened to the early Christians. There was a change in them. They were hiding in an upper room, but then they went to boldly proclaiming that Jesus was the Christ, that he died, he was put in a tomb, and he rose again. And they were willing, like I'd said earlier, to die for that faith. Early on, say the mid-30s after Jesus had risen, there was a creed that was starting to be passed around from one to the other. And we have that creed recorded in 1 Corinthians 15. We said part of that creed before with the baptism, but I'll repeat it now for you. This is what Christians were saying, passing on as most important. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and then he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, also to one abnormally born. In this part, we have that buried, died, buried, rose again. This is the first things that the Christians were wanting to pass on. There's a professor, Ed Sanders. He says, and he's not a Christian, this guy, but regarding the empty tomb and all of this that goes with it, he said that the followers of Jesus and later Paul had resurrection experiences. And it is, in my judgment, a fact. What the reality was that gave rise to that experience, I don't know. So this guy who doesn't know why they come to think it absolutely said, you can't doubt that the disciples really believed that they saw a risen Jesus. This is one of the reasons why I believe Jesus rose from the dead. Now there is some external biblical evidence, and I'm not going to go into all of it, but just one of them today, where Tacitus, I can't get his name out very well, Tacitus, he said their founder, one Christus, had been put to death by the procurator, Pontius Pilate, in the reign of Tiberius. This checked the abominable superstition for a while, but it broke out again and spread, not merely through Judea where it originated, but even to Rome itself. That's an interesting title for Christian, isn't it? Abominable superstition. I'm getting tongue-tied here. But it broke out again. Why did it break out again? Because Jesus rose from the dead. And the people were so convinced of it. Now, I've got three more reasons. And these ones, for me, are closer to home. The reason why I as well believe that Jesus rose from the dead is the transformation he made in my brother. My brother's probably a normal kid, but he, through his teenage life, was starting to go down a pretty dark path, and he was wearing a lot of black clothes, which was representing what he was like on the inside. He was going around graffitiing, and he used to write the word donuts everywhere, in big graffiti everywhere. He would swear, he was starting to steal, and he was just not happy. And me and him, yeah, there were times when he was quite mean to me and hurt me. Well, this brother of mine went to a Christian camp, and on that camp, he had a vision of Jesus. A vision of Jesus bending down and putting his arms around him and giving him a hug. And he said in that moment he felt so much love, more love than he'd ever experienced ever. And that changed him. And when he changed, he came home and he was just, he was a different person. He was kind. He would tell me that he loved me. He stopped, like, graffitiing. He stopped stealing, and his clothes changed. I didn't like that change, so I tried to unchange him. If you have heard that before, I tried for months to make him stop being a Christian. So I would hit him and swear at him, and he'd just block me and tell me that God loved me. And when I swear, he'd say, "Don't swear, Trevor, and God loves you, and so do I." And he kept going and going with this. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead because of the transformation in my brother. He changed. And he's still walking with Jesus now. And because of his change, I was willing to go to the camp that he went to. And when that happened, I changed too. I believe in the resurrection of Jesus because he changes lives, and I know that because he changed mine. He changed mine from within. I was quite depressed and sad. I didn't feel that there was much hope or purpose to life. Even though I'd been going to church for a long time, I thought that God was up there somewhere, not here. And when I went to this camp, I heard that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, but also that he was with us now through his Holy Spirit. And as I heard all of these things, that God was alive and wanted to be with us, well, that changed me too. And that message is changing me all the time. One of the things that they said at that camp, which I've heard many times before, is that Jesus called people to repent, to not only hear the message, but also to change your heart. And that's what happened to my brother, and that's what happened to me. We heard the message. We heard that Jesus was alive, and we let that story change our life. And it did. And this is the type of transformation we pray for in baptism. A transformation to know the power of God, to forgive our sins on the cross, but also to put his new life within us. The last reason is that he has transformed the world and he has brought good to the world. It's just not just me that transformation has come. There's plenty of you here who have been transformed, and there's plenty of you here as well who are people like my brother was, looking at you and seeing that there's something different. I'm keenly aware that there's times in church history where we haven't reflected well the transformative power of Jesus. But they're the times that we haven't reflected him good. We haven't reflected him properly. I pray again that the church will be a place that is truly transformed by him and his resurrection. Because it's in the resurrection that we find hope. As I'd said before I became a Christian, I was feeling that this world was dark. It was without ultimate purpose and hope. But because of the resurrection, it's no longer dark, because there's hope for us all beyond the grave. Billy Graham, you may have heard of him, and you'll hear of him more in the years to come when he dies. You'll actually hear a lot about him then. And he was a person whose life was changed by Jesus. And Billy Graham, after the World War II, was in Cologne. And the mayor of Cologne, who had been imprisoned by Hitler, for disagreeing with the Nazis. He was looking at over his tattered city, and he asked Mr. Graham, "Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ?" And as a preacher, you'd hope so, but Billy Graham's, "Yeah, of course I do. That's why I'm here." And Conrad Adenauer said, "Mr. Graham, outside of the resurrection of Jesus, I do not know of any other hope for this world." I didn't know of any other hope except Jesus. His resurrection and his hope for life has fueled me on. And I pray, I don't know where you are now, where you sit, whether you've known this transformative power that I've talked about today. But if you haven't, I pray that you'll take another look at Jesus and what he did on the cross and then the power of that resurrection. Because in that event, in him is life and the power to transform, to bring joy and hope, life, peace. And I pray that God will give it to each and every one of us from today forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love the world so much that you sent Jesus for us. And we pray today that the power of the resurrection will be at work within us. Empower us by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.